All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 8 a.m. Monday, January 30th. Listen online, jocksfm.com, apps in your app store, iPhone, Android. You can download that for free if you miss Paul Feinbaum. That's the podcast at jocksfm.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get yours. As we continue to roll along right here on a Monday following Championship Sunday.
Roll along right up to go see Bill Smith Buick GMC. They are the GMC and Buick dealer of the year. Doesn't happen by accident either. It's because they're the very best. Just don't ask me my opinion on it. Go and see them. Experience it for yourself. Andy Cole and Jonathan Yeager are going to take great, great care of you. 75% of their business is repeat customers. That's because you have a better experience when you shop with Bill Smith. So you need to go take the short drive right up to Coleman off I-65 and get yourself a brand new 2023 SLT Sierra 1500. 69,825 is the list price. They're going to sell it to you for 7,000 off. 62,825 plus 2.9 for 60 months on the financing. That's a deal that you cannot pass up. So go take advantage of it right now by going to see GMC and Buick's Dealer of the Year right up there in Coleman off I-65, or you can shop online, have it delivered right to your driveway at BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
Not the greatest weekend when it came to SEC basketball as far as the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Alabama goes down to Oklahoma 93-69. We knew going on the road was going to be a little bit different, but Bama had been pretty good on the road and had been tested on the road. Oklahoma came in at just 11-9 on the season, and you didn't know if they had enough offense to be able to handle what Alabama was going to be able to bring. And they were a handful. Jalen Hill goes off and was fantastic against the Crimson Tide for 26 points. Groves goes for 14 points. So it was really more the front court that was problematic for Alabama than it was the back court. And I think that style of game was one that maybe Alabama wasn't ready for, hadn't had to play a ton of this year. That's a little bit of where Mississippi State gave them some problems. But what were your takeaways just from a disappointing loss for the Crimson Tide on the basketball court over the weekend, GMAC?
Obviously really disappointing. But it was one of those games, and look, I'm not one to make excuses or whatnot. It's one of those games where like they needed it way more than we needed it, right? Or at least that's the way it felt. And look, I'm not a huge guy in like the metrics or anything, but this is according to SQ_scores. Shot quality scores. Obviously, Alabama lost 93-69. We get that. But the shot quality scores, based on where they were shooting from and how well defended the shots were, Oklahoma's win probability was 35%. That's pretty amazing. They were expected to score 13 fewer points on three-pointers, based exclusively on the shots that they took and how well defended they were. So it was just one of those games where they were unconscious. I mean, they were, the likelihood of making the shots that they made was very, very slim, and making as many as they made, very, very slim, based on the shots that they were actually choosing to take. So I can find some solace in that. You run into a buzzsaw like that, you got a team that's red hot, and it is what it is. But definitely disappointed, because I really wanted to see, you know, Alabama number one. But at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. These things happen. It's not like I didn't think they played horribly. I mean, they just ran into a team that was red hot.
All right, so I'm not familiar with the website you just referenced.
It's really interesting. I didn't know about it until my brother-in-law sent it to me yesterday.
Would I love to see the Auburn score on that most nights, because quality of shots is not often present, ever. Unless they allow Broome to get going, which in the second half against West Virginia they did. And I don't know, man. I know I'm changing the subject here pretty quickly, but like that in particular just got me thinking about Auburn basketball. Because Alabama's going to take a ton of threes. And so the one thing that I did think that was weird about Bama and Oklahoma is like they were almost the anti-Nate Oates. Like you saw a ton of mid-range jumpers from Oklahoma, right, and they knocked a bunch of them down. Like Nate, like we've talked about with Bucky McMillan at Samford, is going to be layups and threes. Like that's what they're going to do. They're going to play the percentages. Auburn takes a lot of bad shots. I don't know how to say it. I think the best way to
describe it. Why do you think that is? Like, because it is a little bit,
I think it's a false confidence. It's the only thing I can put into it is false confidence. I think certain guys on that team think they can make certain shots, and they have not knocked down a ton of those shots. You know, there are, I mean, you got a point guard that could easily find a way to take a high percentage layup, and he increases the level of difficulty in the majority of layups that he takes. I mean, to me, that's inexplicable. I don't know how to explain that. Like, I don't know. I don't know how.
How do you increase the level of difficulty on a layup?
Well, instead of driving and accepting contact and potentially getting a foul and trying to put it off the backboard, you try to go like, you know, George Gervin finger roll from 3 feet away and stepping away from contact. Like, am I wrong? Tell me if I'm wrong. If you guys see it a different way, I'd love to hear that. I don't disagree
with you at all. That's like, it's the strange. It is definitely strange. It's actually very well described, to be honest with you. Like, I think it was very, very well described. It does. I mean, honestly, it does make it look more difficult than it should be. Not that I have a great experience in like playing above the rim or anything, but I feel like a layup should be kind of automatic. It doesn't feel like it is most of the time.
Well, we're switching. We'll turn the page here to Auburn for just a little bit. 80-77, they lose in Morgantown, and you give them a ton of credit for being able to battle back. That game was 45-29, and they made a couple of good pushes right before the half, and West Virginia just consecutively said no, 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 no. Like, Auburn had multiple opportunities to make that a pretty close game or a much less comfortable lead for West Virginia before the half, and West Virginia just kept responding. They had an answer for every little push that Auburn made. But then in the second half, Auburn begins to find a little bit more offense. And again, I thought it was through Broome. In my opinion, moving forward, you got to run the offense through him. The offense has to be run through Joni Broome because I think he is your best answer. I think he's your most consistent answer. And there are a ton of times in which he has position and doesn't see the basketball offensively. And it might not be what they wanted to go into the season doing. It might not be what everybody else on the offense is built to do. But I'd love to hear other people's opinion on it. 800-239-9569. If it were me, I think that he needs to be the focal point of the offense, mainly because he's the most consistent point of the offense. Flanagan's great a couple of nights a month. You know, Wendell Green can be really nice a couple of nights a month. But, I mean, you know, KD Johnson gives you certain things inside certain games. We know what his role is. Yeah. He's the energy guy. He's the spark plug guy.
Yeah.
He's the headache guy for the opposition. He's not going to give you 20 points a night. It's not who he is.
In his mind, he could, though.
Sometimes. Not as much as Wendell Green. But,
right.
But Wendell Green can score in spurts like that. We've seen that happen. We've seen Cardwell score in spurts. But I don't know, man. I watched that team on Saturday, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, because I go back to the A&M game where it looked like Broome had position on so many possessions and didn't see the basketball. And then when he did, either a second chance point or through an entry pass, he was able to make some things happen. And obviously he makes them happen on the board and defensively. So reward him on offense. That, to me, I feel like if this is going to be a team that can get a couple wins in the tournament, there has to be a little bit of a shift on that offense.
I just don't know. And maybe, I mean, you watch it more closely and have watched it more closely over the past several years. If I have to have it, like if I have to have it, gotta have it, game-changing, buzzer-beating situation, I genuinely don't know who I would draw up the play for Auburn. I know that you just say Broome's like your guy, but that's kind of the infuriating thing to me is like if it comes down to it and you need a guy that takes over the game, who is that guy? I really don't know who that is for Auburn. I really don't. And that is a little bit, at this stage of the season as we're starting to move into February, March, like I feel like I would like to know who that guy is going to be moving forward. I'm not saying you have to have all the answers right now, but like I need to know who my most dependable, reliable scorer is. And I don't know who that is right now. And that's a scary thought when you really think about it.
Especially if it's from the perimeter. And I think that's where it becomes a little bit nerve-wracking. I mean, it's just there are not a lot of times, regardless of how good the shot looks from the perimeter, that you say, that's in, when the shot's being taken. Like, it's almost a, you know, bite your lip, you know, clench your fist on every shot.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't help it. And I thought, you know, I like the way that Bruce uses Zepp Jasper, and there are times in which I feel like he could be a legitimate answer to some of the offensive woes. But I think there's some inconsistency there. And I do think that there are other things that Wendell Green does well that maybe Zepp's not able to do, specifically, you know, from a dribble drive perspective. But, you know, sometimes it's frustrating to watch. And, you know, you had to feel good about the fact that you were able to battle back and you were able to be in a good position late. But once again, you can almost point to every loss this year, and there has been a guard who has had a good game from a scoring perspective. And Eric Stevenson was that guy on Saturday morning. And he dropped 31, 7 of 10 from behind the three-point line. Now, I'll say this. Like, he took a couple that I'm not sure they're defendable but just because of the range. But I mean, you knew that's where it was going to be. You knew that's where it was going to come from, and there wasn't a lot that they could do about it. So I think they're still in decent shape. We knew that was going to be a tough place to go play. That's a big team. That's an older team. That's a physical team. So there are not a ton of matchups like that you're going to get the rest of the way through, even though you do have some difficult matchups left on the schedule. But overall, that's one that I think they can learn a few things from. I do think that could lead to some adjustments offensively that could help Auburn down the stretch. 80-77, West Virginia gets that win.
Are you concerned about the state of the league at all? Or do you think that this was just... I don't want to say that like I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. I still think the SEC is very good top to bottom. But after the performances of this past week, that's going to really... I think it puts a bit of a dent in what the nationwide perception is.
It will, but let's look at what some of the other things that happened. I mean, Missouri put more points on Iowa State in regulation than any team has all season. Iowa State's a top 10 defense in college basketball. It's a top 15 team.
Right.
And Missouri handed it to them. Now, they were at home, so I give them credit for that. I get it. Mississippi State, what do we say? They've lost like 26 straight against ranked opponents. And yeah, you know, they handled TCU in overtime at home. Now, I mean, they didn't blow them out or anything, but that's a massive win.
It's a good win.
It's a great win. Arkansas went toe-to-toe with Baylor. I mean, they go to Waco against a team that was super hot.
Still not 100% either. I mean, yeah, like, they're not even close to where they need to be.
They manhandled Kansas a week or so ago.
Right.
And they go toe-to-toe, have a chance to win that game. Obviously, you know, there's no prizes for second place. But some of the other matchups just weren't going to be great. Like, I mean, Kansas State and Florida, that just wasn't a good matchup. You know, Tennessee, what they did was super impressive. That's a top really 10 impressive Texas team. And, yeah, you get them at home, but you handle your business. So, top to bottom, was it great for the league? No. But I do think when you look inside of it, you could maybe find a little bit more depth in the league than a lot of other people wanted to. And because a lot of people are going to focus on that Alabama score, and a lot of people are going to focus on the Kansas score and just say, oh, that's it. The league's not very good. But the middle of the league maybe proved to people that they're a little more difficult to deal with than a lot of other people have been discussing the majority of this season.
Yeah. I mean, the Missouri win was massive. That was obviously huge.
And it was Mississippi State win.
The Mississippi State was good. Yeah. I mean, Mississippi State's a fringe tournament team. Like, got to have it. Had to have it. And, you know, I mean, they have not played well at all since getting into SEC play. So that was an impressive win. It was. I mean, I found it kind of odd this week. I mean, shoot, all the underdogs were like teams that had to have it. They got it this weekend, right? I mean, it's like, people will say, well, Kansas, you know, they were favored. Okay, fine, but Kansas had lost three in a row. And people were saying Kentucky 100% was going to win that game, and Rupp, like, Kansas had to have that one to avoid losing four straight, and they found a way to get it done. So I think the league's going to take – look, there's going to be detractors no matter what. It's SEC hoop, and I feel like people always take shots at the SEC when it comes to things like this. But, hey, man, I feel like, if anything, I'm only affirmed in my belief that the SEC top to bottom is about as strong as it gets in basketball this year.
Well, another belief, and you brought up underdogs, is that underdog fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Your fantasy football leagues might be over, but you can still play fantasy games and win cash prizes on Underdog Fantasy. You've heard us talk about that pick'em game. You pick whether your favorite players are going to have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. Coming up to 20 times your money in a single playoff game. Just pick between 2 and 5 players to build that pick'em entry. Also, the Rivals Picks, which pits 2 players against each other. Super Bowl 2 weeks away. Go ahead and start getting ready for what you want to play for that game at Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today with promo code MC945 and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com, or you can find them in the App Store like I did. So easy to navigate, so easy to use, so easy to get to. And don't forget to register with my promo code MC945, and your first deposit will be doubled up to $100. Must be 18 and older, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Robert in Birmingham wants to talk Auburn hoops. He's on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, Robert.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had some thoughts on, you asked the question, why may they be taking so many wild shots and bad shots and or low-quality shots? And I got the same thoughts. I'm an Auburn fan watching. Sometimes it just makes you cringe, especially some of the guards, especially Wendell Green. But over the past 2 weeks, I've heard Bruce Pearl in 3 different interviews make comments about how he wishes more players would take more shots, would have the confidence to take more shots, and have the courage to take more shots. Frankly, it kind of surprised me just because I thought they were already taking too many wild shots, but it could be an explanation that he's got players he wants to shoot more who are afraid to throw up the rock. He got one guy, in fact, actually one comment after Texas A&M, the post-game interview, he said, I wish everybody would take more shots, he said, except for Wendell. Wendell's got it. So I don't know if it was a criticism of Wendell or a criticism of everyone else, but that's one explanation, is that Bruce is putting in there trying to really get them to take more aggressive shots, or he's only got one person who's willing to. Just go back and listen to some of those interviews. I'm trying to figure it out, and that's the best I can come up with.
Well, then we had Bruce on, Robert, last week. You know, we asked him that because he said something similar about Dylan Cardwell after a game.
Right.
And a lot of people took that as Bruce taking shots at Cardwell, and I wanted to kind of allow him to clarify it on the show. But to me, that was just saying, no, we have to have him. Like, he's that important to us in what we do on a daily basis, night in, night out. And Bruce kind of said, yeah, I'm glad you heard it that way, because I did take some heat for that. So I do think he wants other guys to take shots. And I don't think that means, hey, just load up and take more bad shots. But I think he wants the confidence of other players to be able to say, you know, hey, if there is a shot there for you to take, go grab it. Go take it. And I don't know exactly who that player might be. Like I said, the way I see it, the last couple of games, the offense has got to start running through Broome, at least on a more consistent basis. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's what I see when Auburn's in an offensive set. And maybe that's what he's talking about, is, you know, feed the damn ball to the post. I don't know.
Yeah, I like to think that that's what he does mean, is that he's referring to the down low. You know, if he can get to Broome and even Cardwell, and they can get more confidence taking it to the hole, that certainly should open it up from the outside. But, yeah, I don't seems like we've got too much confidence on the outside, for sure. I don't know if one person is just taking the message to heart, or, yeah, it's not getting the right people. But I'm with you. I think if we could get to Broome, we could get to Cardwell, we could get more action underneath, I would see a lot more action on the outside, a lot higher quality shots, for sure.
Appreciate the call, Robert. Thanks for tuning into the show. Greg is on the Bud Light Hotline, wants to talk SEC hoops. Welcome in, Greg. Greg.
Hello, Greg.
Greg. You're out.
It's a good run.
Couple tweets coming into the show. You can always tweet in, be a part of the show at Mac and Cube. Best way to be a part of the show. Will Stevens tweets in, am I wrong, or does Lior need a few more shots a game? Thoughts? Yes? No? I mean, I think some folks have been saying that for the last week.
I feel like that's one of the common complaints, I feel like, is that he doesn't get enough when talking about Auburn. I don't really have an opinion on the matter. Is he He probably could stand to take a few more, but I don't feel like he's, oh, that's the missing link. Get him going, and it's all she wrote.
Sure.
I don't know about you.
I think feasibly, yes. Does it have to happen? Probably not. Walker Hayes tweets in, if people thought Coleman was bad, they should step foot in Oklahoma's arena. Quite possibly the worst I've seen. Haven't been, but I do know the broadcast team thought it was very loud. Multiple comments made about the noise.
The raucous crowd
in that arena. Royal Payne tweets in, at Mac and Q, Bama basketball looks mentally and physically burnt. Question is, if it happens mid-year, do you ever get it back? Greg, that kind of goes to what you talked with Bruce about a little bit last week. Like, if you peak too early,
right?
Is that a real thing? Is that a real problem? I didn't view Alabama that way on Saturday. Like, flat, yes. Mentally, emotionally burnt? Meh. I'm not going to say that after one game. Like, you need to get, I need to say that for three straight games if I'm going to say that about your team.
Yeah. But this is kind of the midseason swoon. I mean, this is not, I don't know if they're, I didn't get that sense. I mean, I think they just ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, it's simple as that. It wasn't, oh, no, let's go back to the drawing board here. I mean, it was just not a great game, not a great performance, and they made all their shots. I mean, I'm not sitting here thinking like, oh boy, now we got some issues now. Like, you run into a team that's that hot, you're going to lose. It is what it is. Hopefully, you know, you don't have to, you know, play against a team that's shooting the lights out like that every single week, but it is what it is. I'm not concerned. I'm really not. Was I disappointed? Of course, but I'm not concerned. I think that this is very, very typical. Even teams, I mean, Kansas won the national championship last year. They had lost three in a row going into this past week. I mean, like, it's a hard time of year because you can't really see the light at the end of the tunnel yet. Guys are definitely fatigued. You're probably a little beat up from time to time, too. So I don't know, Cole. Like, I'm not pressing the panic button whatsoever.
I don't think anybody should. I don't think many people will just after one game. I believe I was wrong earlier in asking for Greg, and it was Rex who's on the Bud Light Hotline in Birmingham. Welcome in, Rex.
Morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Apologize up, for buddy? the
He just wanted to yell, Greg. It's typical. Like, I'm used to it.
Well, wanted to see why we're getting a pass that this Alabama score is not a bad box score game. I mean, from start to finish, Oklahoma ran this table.
Oh, well, when you hear the West Liberty, West Virginia Wesleyan score that I'm going to toss at you later, you probably have a full understanding of why.
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't think we need to worry too much about the SEC. Most of the losses that came Saturday are from first-year head coaches, and several of those were on the road. I think that give them a year or two to be able to build their programs, and the SEC is going to be fine shape. I am concerned a little bit about Alabama. They just didn't come out with the energy to play. But I don't know why we weren't talking about Sherfield. He's the one that put up 30 points, and that's like a quarterback throwing for four touchdowns, and we didn't even mention him. Alabama had no answer for him all night long.
Well, that's because Sherfield, first of all, he's a handful. But they have a bunch of guys. I mean, he's a veteran dude. Sherfield's a senior. He's been around for a while. Guy took 20 shots. I mean, the guy was phenomenal. Then Hill, you know, he had a pretty nice night as well. I mean, shoot, I wasn't as familiar with Hill. Sherfield, I'd definitely seen in the past, but. That Oklahoma, man, you look at their schedule and you look at their resume. I mean, it's kind of amazing that they're 12-9. I mean, that team was really good. I mean, but they've lost some close games. Like, they lose by 3 against Iowa State, lose by 1 against Texas, lose by 4 to Kansas. They got beat by 2 by Baylor. I mean, this is a team that had really competed in and lost some really, really close ones. So I still think that Oklahoma team is one that you don't really want to mess with. It just speaks to the Big 12 as much as anything else. I mean, the Big 12 is legit, absolutely, man. This team's 2-6, and they're the real deal.
The last game I want to talk about is the one that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Cole said had a 0% chance, not once, but twice, a 0% chance of winning. And that is Mississippi State. so I think we
LSU was the one he gave 0% chance. LSU was the one he gave 0% chance. I remember it vividly because I noted it. Mississippi State was unlikely, yes. You were not confident in the Bulldogs going into this weekend.
No, I was not.
You hated LSU, though, and you were nails on that one.
Very good. All right, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Rex.
You too, buddy.
By the way, I think I might hate LSU in every game they play the rest of the year.
they're terrible.
40 points in an SEC game. I don't know what else to tell you.
They're so bad. It makes me, I don't know. I shouldn't say this, but I don't often root against teams, especially in the SEC. I really don't. Like, I really do want everyone to win.
Yeah, you're right.
I got no problems with LSU losing because of how Will Wade went for a couple of years. Like, they need to be in timeout.
But it's just that.
I'm not rooting against them, but I hope they lose every game. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's pretty much how I feel. Like, they're the only team I don't care for right now. And it's really only hoops. I love them in football. I love them in other sports, too. I love them in baseball. But I really, after the Will Wade situation and how they handled that, yeah, I'm good with them. Taking some else.
I'm just gonna throw this out for you guys. They've lost 8 straight. At Missouri next, Bama at home, at Mississippi State, A&M at home, at Georgia, South Carolina, Vandy, at Ole Miss, Missouri, at Florida.
South Carolina is the only one they're getting. Like, that's the only one that's possibly gettable.
Maybe.
Really?
It's not a lock. No.
It ain't a game.
Like I said, I don't see any lock dubs left on that schedule. No.
Wow.
John is in Tuscaloosa, wants to talk SEC basketball. Welcome into the show, John.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning? Cole, to go back to your conversation on Auburn basketball, I think what the real problem is Auburn really hasn't had a good half-court game in a while. Last year was a little bit of an outlier because you had Kessler and you had a couple others and Smith. And
that's all you need. Normally, that's all you had to say.
What these Pearl teams do is their defense and their running leads to the offense. Now, half-court, up until last year, you've always had at least one guard that could break down, get inside, and either pitch out or throw the lob. But this year, you don't have that guard on offense that could break you down, and you really don't have anybody consistent to throw it out to that's hitting that three-pointer, because Bruce Pearl teams have never been a really good half-court team, not even Tennessee, not the whole time he's been at Auburn. So the defense isn't. What I'm noticing on the defense is they're over-pursuing, which is allowing guards to break them down and get inside and get easy points. So now you don't have that fast-break offense that push it up. And because of the over-pursuit, you don't have the trapping defense. I haven't seen them run hardly any traps this year.
Let me ask you this, John, because I think you made a really good point. That over-pursuit defensively on the perimeter, what do you believe that's overcompensating for?
Well, it started last year, and I think what happens is last year they got so confident with Walker being able to just pull off his man at the last second to clean up mistakes that they got into that habit. This year you don't have that true defender inside that can just do what Walker Kessler did last year, and they're paying for it. They've just developed that bad habit. And next time y'all have Coach on, ask him how he gets out of that. Even ask Coach Wimp when he comes on, because I've never seen it so consistent. It really was bad last year, but you had Wessler and Smith that could clean that up inside. You don't have that this year.
Yep. No, that's a great call, John. Really good information and a solid opinion by you. I think you're spot on with a couple of things there. We had a parenting deal over the weekend, like a little seminar, whatever, Friday night, Saturday morning, and went to lunch after that with a buddy of mine, Jack, and he and I were talking, watching the game at lunch with our wives, which I'm sure they enjoyed. and he and I both said at two different points in the game, it's amazing how much this team misses Walker Kessler. And it's amazing. I mean, we knew it was good last year, but probably didn't have a full appreciation of exactly what he did and what he forced to happen in other spots of that basketball team. It's just
he was phenomenal, dude.
He was amazing. I mean,
he just made
a lot of things happen. Even when he wasn't blocking a ball or dunking a basketball, like he kind of like what John just said on the phones, like he made a lot of things easier on a lot of other people. Kind of like Gusty Gulis and the Gusty Gulis Group do. Like, they make it easy on you if you want to buy a home. Why? They're brokered by eXp Realty, so they have the buyers that are ready to buy. Hundreds of them are going to be lined up to buy your home when you list it with Gusty Gulis and the Gusty Gulis Group. How does he know that? Well, he served over 3,000 home buyers and sellers in the greater Birmingham area. Gusty Gulis Group has been recognized both nationally and locally as greater Birmingham, Alabama's number one team in homes sold. Most agents start marketing after you list with them. Not Gusty. He markets long before he meets a potential seller. That's why if there's any real estate needs you have in Central Alabama, GMAC, it's got to be Gusty Gulis and the Gusty Gulis Group.
No doubt. Check the Google reviews. 800 five-star Google reviews. That's all you need to know. Like when Clint and Maya were ready to sell their Southside bungalow, they called Gusty Gulis Group. He worked to put together a game plan and a timeline, gave the seller some homework to get done around the house to be picture perfect and show ready. With an aggressive go-to-market strategy, they were able to generate multiple offers and get them under contract in just 3 days for $18,000 over list price. That's why he's the only agent we would trust, and I think you guys would really enjoy working with him. Just Google Gusty Gulis Group, check out all those Google reviews, or go straight to his site, GustyGulisGroup.com. That's GustyGulisGroup.com, and start packing.
All right, we'll get to a break as we put the SEC Big 12 Challenge to bed. Come back, we'll talk Championship Sunday. More of what we saw with the Eagles taking down the 49ers and the Chiefs taking down the Bengals. Next, right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 8:36 a.m., Monday, January 30th, right here on Jocks 94.5. See clearly again, like I am, thanks to Dr. Mark Michelson, Dr. Jennifer Michelson, right there, Michelson Laser Vision. I called 205-969-8100 over 20 years ago, set up a free consultation, got to see Dr. Mark Michelson, told me I was a candidate for the LASIK procedure, had that procedure done. Quick, easy, pain-free. I was back at work in the day. My vision went, I was legally blind when I walked in. I felt like it was perfect when I walked out. I feel like it's still perfect today over 20 years later, thanks to Dr. Mark Michelson, a national pioneer in the field. For 30 years, Dr. Michelson been on the forefront of corrective laser surgery in the United States. Surgery and treatment with their office located right there at UAB Highlands for comfortable and convenient care. They offer a variety of easy and affordable payment plans because when you select Michelson Laser Vision for your treatment, the cost you're quoted for treatment, that's what you pay for everything. Surgery, recovery, all your post-op visits, there are no add-ons, no hidden fees. Visit MichelsonLaserVision.com today or call 205-969-8100 and set up that free consultation. You mentioned kind of what you're thinking about the Philadelphia Eagles right now a little bit earlier in the show, GMAC, and they make their fourth Super Bowl.
You're on the same page with me?
Yeah, they make their fourth Super Bowl appearance, and it's just, it's. I understand, I do think that no one is at least just saying, hey, this game was going to be out of reach for San Francisco when the quarterback situation started to become what it was. However, Philadelphia was pretty much dominant in every aspect of this game. The offense didn't have to ramp it up. They didn't have to do a whole lot after the first quarter. And you know, you're sitting there at 21-7 going to halftime, and there didn't feel like anything that San Francisco was going to be able to piece together to be in that football game. But it's hard also not to look at this team as top to bottom, both playing the best football and maybe being the best football team. That when they go face Kansas City in the Super Bowl, the one thing that may offset that is Kansas City maybe bring the best player to the game and maybe more healthy than what we saw him against the Bengals on Sunday night.
Well, there's no denying who the best player in the game is. Yeah, that's we don't need to spend
Chris
more
Jones?
Than 30 seconds on that. No. And I could probably tell you it's not. It's
one of the Kelseys take your
Kelsey. Pick. Yeah, I know. I'm sure that the center for the Eagles, he'd be in the top 10, perhaps, but he's certainly not number one. Dude, Mahomes, when you really look at Kansas City's team, the offensive line's pretty good, right? But really, their weapons aren't special. Their offensive line's solid. Running backs, solid. Not, you know, not spectacular by any stretch of the imagination. Chris Jones is an all-pro. He's obviously the real deal. But you really look at Kansas City. I mean, they're not on paper. This feels a little bit like when Philly was going up against New England a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. And everyone's sitting there saying, oh, Tom Brady can't take Tom Brady. Nick Foles over Tom Brady. No way. Like, Tom Brady's going to get it done. But when you really look at the rosters, like, Philly's roster is much better than that of Kansas City. It's really not close. The only reason why Kansas City's in the game is because of their quarterback. And look, he can make everyone better. I get that. But the rosters really aren't that comparable when you really go top to bottom, Cole. You take the top 10 players, 7 of them are probably Philadelphia Eagles. And maybe 3 are going to be Kansas City Chiefs.
That's fair. But when you got Pat Mahomes doing Pat Mahomes things, he can lift your team up to a completely different level. Kind of like lintel lifts can lift those cracked bricks that are shifting and sagging above your garage door. It's not something you want to ignore because it's a big problem and can also be an expensive problem. You probably asked a question like, what's my lintel? What is that? Well, it's the load-bearing structure just above your garage door. Many home builders have not built in the necessary allowances for expansion and contraction of the lintels over time, so the weight of the bricks at the garage door puts pressure on that structure at its weakest point in the middle, and that pressure eventually causes the bricks to crack or actually crumble from the weight. It can be a dangerous situation. Good news is, Lintel Lift has a solution. It works without having to rebuild the entire garage door area. Lintel Lift, only patented system that provides lintel repair for sagging lintels and cracks above garage doors. After countless hours of research and testing, Lintel Lift developed the most efficient and economical method of repairing sagging and problematic garage lintels. Lintel Lift offers many different types of decorative lintel covers to give your home a unique and attractive finish around that garage. Take action now. Prevent further damage to your home. Contact Lintel Lift today. Get a free quote for the only patented lintel repair solution, Lintel Lift. Call 205-858-LIFT or go to lintellift.com. And when you call, remember, you're going to be talking directly with the dealer. That's 205-858-LIFT or lintellift.com. When we come back, this line has already been kind of crazy for this Super Bowl. I want to talk about that when we return next right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 8:47 a.m., Monday, January 30th, right here on Jocks 94.5. GMAC, this Super Bowl line already bouncing all over the place here early on, not even 24 hours up.
Where is it right now?
Oh, I have to go.
Last I saw, a slight favorite Philly.
Which that's what I would suspect as far as is what it would end up being.
Philly's a 2-point favorite. So that's about where it was. Circa opened it at KC 1.5.
Yep.
But everyone else had Philly at 1.5 or 2. Now it's currently at 2 for Philly across the board.
So a little bit of movement there early.
A little bit. And
not sure if some early wagers had anything to do with that. But either way, you know, you got a lot of folks looking at that, kind of wondering where it's going to end up, where it's going to be.
I like Philly. I don't know. I don't want to have to make a pick. We got 2 weeks to do it, obviously, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult to pick Kansas City to me. I'm just going to have a tough time doing it.
I'm with you. And it's, like I said, when we were here on Friday, we made our picks. I said, I want San Francisco to win. I just like that team, but I'm not betting against Philadelphia. Like, I think Philadelphia will win the NFC. It's kind of the same situation. Like, I would love to see Kansas City win for a couple of different reasons, but I think Philadelphia's a better team. I really do. Yep. Now, we know that quarterbacks have been a big difference in this game, and Pat Mahomes is a better quarterback. It's just is what it is. Kind of like the better place to go shop for products that can help you with your daily routine is your CBD store. Whether that's a better night's sleep, whether it's focusing better throughout the course of the day, or maybe losing weight. The Trim by SunMed's in stock now at your CBD store, largest brick and mortar CBD retailer in the world. They focus their attention on being the best plant sciences company out there. There are hundreds of different extracts and plants, and they work hard to find the ones that work best. That's why they have the stamp seal on their products. First company to have USDA certified organic oil supplements. If your skincare, if it's focus, if it's better night's sleep, if it's waking up feeling better, arthritis, anxiety for you or your pet, your CBD store has answers. Visit one of the four locations today. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver, Trustful just off 459, and now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD store, where good health hits home. Dave is on the Bud Light Hotline, and Hoover wants to chime in on the NFC Championship game. Welcome in, Dave.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was watching the game last night, and I was on my phone, and I'm examining rosters, and I was really surprised to see that the Eagles have like 11 players out of the SEC, and the 49ers have three. And one of them's Charlie Warner, the backup tight end for the 49ers from Georgia. I don't know. I examined the 49ers roster, man, and the players from, like, you know, Mercer is just, like, you know, loaded down the roster. I'm thinking, you know, you got to, at some point, surround yourself and bring in players that know how to win, players that have, they, you know, you see some teams that just can't win. They figure out ways to lose games. You know what I'm saying? And I know these are professionals, not college kids, but I don't know. There's just something to be said to me for the more players you have on your team that know how to win, that have been through that kind of adversity before versus teams that don't. And I'm really surprised the 49ers are as good as they were.
I mean, go down and left tackle, they might have the best in the NFL. Tight end, it's going to be
pound for pound, as good as it gets.
And even if somebody wants to go a different direction, their tight end's in the argument. If you want to go utility right. player, I mean, Debo's in that argument yeah. with anybody. And
McCaffrey.
I mean, maybe two of them. So, right. you know, if you want to go on the defensive line, you know, there aren't many pass rushers better than Nick Bosa. And then you got Kinlaw and Armstead inside that both know how to cause problems. McElroy's mentioned it a couple of times with that pair of linebackers that they have. So I understand where you're going with like winning pedigree, but at the same time, they have some of the best in the NFL at their positions. And this is why what you're saying, I think, is why there's been a lot of criticism on Shanahan today, in that people think that they keep seeing him in big spots and big decision moments, not necessarily call the right things or have things go the right way, which I'm not going to put that on him in this game because of where the quarterback situation was. It wasn't going to be there for him either way.
Well, the Falcon Patriots game. I mean, you look at that game. You know, yep. The Falcons are up by 25 points going in the fourth quarter, and that last series, all Matt Ryan, he could have taken three knees, kicked the field goal, and that game is over. But they got greedy. He dropped back, and when you looked at the amount of time left in the fourth quarter, the Patriots needed one more possession from somewhere time wise. There just wasn't time. And so what they do, they sacked Ryan. He fumbled the ball. There was their extra possession. So I don't know. I've seen Shanahan over time, year after year, like you said, big situations. He just can't make it happen for whatever reason.
I think it's a little unfair though, man. Like, look, the guy's getting it done. I mean, he just took Brock Purdy. I mean, and look, I think Brock is a fine player. I'm not going to sit here and say he's the second coming of Aaron Rodgers under any circumstances. No, like he's a good player, fine player, but he took him to the fringe of the Super Bowl, man. Shanahan to me is a dude, as good as it gets. Like as good as it gets when it comes to coaching to me. Like I think as far as scheme, creativity, featuring players, knowing how to move guys around, getting the most out of his individual talent. I mean, Shanahan's a dude. So I think that I don't have any issues with him. Like, look, your quarterback gets hurt, you're not going to win. Simple as that. Jimmy Garoppolo hits a post, he's already got a Super Bowl. I mean, like, there's a couple things here and there. If you give Shanahan Patrick Mahomes, forget about it. Like, no doubt about it. But he doesn't have that guy right now. They tried to draft a quarterback a couple years ago, third overall, Trey Lance. He's been hurt. So the quarterback is, I think, what's held San Fran back a little bit, and it obviously came to fruition yesterday.
I don't think there's any doubt. And even if Brock Purdy's healthy, I think we might have an interesting game on our hands. But as I pointed out at the beginning of the show, You know, 7:01 left in the first. He goes down on that Riddick hit, and that was pretty much the end of San Francisco's day. You could go back before that and go to 10:30 left when Hurts hit Smith down the sideline on a 4th-and-3. I mean, that was a massive play. But you watched the movement at the point of attack that Philadelphia was getting. I just don't think it was going to be an issue, man. Like, yeah. You mentioned it. I said it. Bosa was a non-factor. Lane Johnson kicked his ass in that game yesterday. Kelsey had one of the better games I've ever seen him play. I mean, it was just Philadelphia was in a different headspace, it felt like, in that game. Like, emotionally, physically, they were in a different place. And I just don't think it was going to matter. And you're right on Shanahan getting it done to the point of having one of the better teams in the league. But decision-making becomes a big part of that as well. Kind of like the decision that you need to make for a playground in your backyard. It's got to be Backyard Adventures. Go to Cahaba Valley Road, see what they have for yourself. You can jump, climb, swing, slide on all their different options. And then Jeff and the guys will come customize it for you. Trampoline season right around the corner. They've got those in stock now. The best part about a playground in your backyard from Backyard Adventures, they assemble it. They come put it together. They do all the work for you. And then you watch your kids enjoy it. They're outside each and every day. My kids love it. We're on the monkey bars having a hang competition as a family over the weekend. And believe it or not, the 2-year-old got second place. 29 seconds. 2-year-old. I thought he'd be down in like 4 seconds.
Oh, wow.
I was the only one to beat him. I was pretty impressed. Basketball goals, they can help you out with those as well, G-Mac.
Nope. They'll take care of you. Whatever you need, they'll get you taken care of. So go check them out off Cahaba Valley Road or go online at backyardalabama.com.
408, the number 4FUN, if you need to get in touch with Jeff and the guys today. Bad basketball box score of the day, next.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.